We need to take a few moments to talk a little bit about this gospel before I go any further. This is a part of John, which is called the Farewell Discourse. So we're taking a step back. You know, the last 4 weeks, we have had stories of Jesus' appearance to the disciples, to Mary, following the crucifixion, his, you know, several post-resurrection experiences for those who believe. Now suddenly, here we are in the fifth week, and we're stepping back in time a bit to the Last Supper, to Jesus' final meal with his disciples. And they've already eaten. He's already taken off his robe and washed the disciples' feet. Judas has already slipped away into the night to betray him. He's already told Peter that he's going to deny him a little later on. And he's also told the disciples that he is going to be leaving them. Now, is it any wonder that we begin the gospel with don't let your hearts be troubled? Because here they've seen and they've witnessed and they've heard all these things, and now suddenly the one whom they believed that they were to follow is saying, I'm not going to be with you. So that's where we're set. Now, the second thing I want to say is that when we look at John, and I've shared this with you before, we see John as he shares this wonderful message of Jesus' love through God. And we see how when he encounters people and in the conversations that we read in John, that things are layered. It's just like an onion that gets peeled back. And the more we get there, the deeper we go. And Jesus brings us into that discussion. So we need to be very careful as to how when we approach this, because oftentimes what we think Jesus is saying is, oh, there's a large place in which we're all going to go, and we're all going to have like a big hotel for Christians. And that's not really what Jesus is saying. That's why it's important that we read things and that we understand them, because when, you know, people say things like, I got to run, I mean, are they really saying they got to run away? They got to run? You know, oftentimes, you know, Jackie or Deb will say something, well, I got to run and get these things stapled. And I'll say, you can walk if you want, you know. Or I could eat a horse. I hope you don't mean that. Ugh. Or I see you got your hair cut, you know, and it's, well, it's more than one, you know, it's hairs. But you see how we say things and we understand it because it's something that we share and we say it often. You know, we got to nail this down before such and such a time, and we're talking about getting things done but not necessarily taking a hammer and nailing things in. So when we look at John, we need to understand some things in which Jesus is saying to his disciples. First and foremost, we often hear this passage during funerals. It's one of my favorite passages because we hear those words from Jesus' mouth that says, don't let your hearts be troubled. To hear Jesus say that to me is just, okay, take a deep breath, blow it out. And even though there are things that are occurring around me, I know that there is something much more powerful than me that can control and help me to get through this. I like these words, and I'm sure you do too. But when Jesus is starting to speak about, I have to go to prepare a place for you, he's talking about establishing a relationship between the disciples and the Father. Hence the questions, and hence that even the disciples are taking Jesus quite literally, because we have two of them, Thomas and Philip, who ask questions that obviously they're at this level, and Jesus is way up here, and it's just going over their heads. Jesus says to them, I have to go, and I need to do a few things. But what he is saying to them is not something that is just to say, I'm preparing you for eternal life. He's saying, I'm preparing you for now. And the same thing goes for us. It's not just about the afterlife when we hear about don't let your hearts be troubled, that there's going to be these wonderful things. But he's also saying that I am giving you a relationship with the Father that is able to establish his love directly with you as you have seen it through me. Now, we have all kinds of images of God as Father. You know, old man, white beard. We see an angry God. We see a loving God. We see a creator. We see a man up there bowling when it thunders. But Jesus is giving us the best image of who God is through all the things that he has done. You know, and when we are called into question as Christians, we need to look to what is it that Jesus has accomplished. And he's shown us. He's shown us about compassion. He's shown us about forgiveness. He's shown us about how people are able to see even when they are blind, that people can hear even when they are deaf, and even the dead rise. Signs to help us to understand how God desires a relationship with us. So when he says, I am the way and the truth and the life, he's not offering a dictate that says, this is the only way to the Father. He's speaking directly to the disciples at the moment in which they are going through grief and that they are struggling with the fact that he is leaving. And he wants them to understand that I have given you what you need. You have seen through me the Father. You have seen through me the path in the relationship to God. Too often people take that verse and they tear it away from this wonderful understanding of relationships with the Father and say, oh, you know, this is just one way, the only way you can do these things. I don't think Jesus was saying that. He's talking to the disciples and he's talking to us in a very intimate way of helping to know a Father who desires to put his just like a hen gathers the chicks, as Jesus has spoken of before. A Father who is loving and caring and kind, who desires for us to gather around him when we are saddened and we are hurt, as well as celebrating those great joys of life, those milestones, graduation, confirmation, weddings, birthdays. So when Philip speaks up and he says, well, we'll be satisfied, Jesus, if you show us the Father, it's obvious that all these things that he's spoken of still is going over their heads. They still don't understand. He says, Philip, all this time. Now, granted, in the Gospel of John, we understand Jesus' ministry lasted about a year. So that's not a long time with the disciples. But even so, all the times that we have heard him speak and talk about that he has to be delivered up and he will be crucified and die and in 3 days will rise again. Just right over. And I think it goes over us too. I think it goes over us too when we forget about this gift that God has given us in a relationship with him. The moment we get angry, the moment that we just feel like it's not going our way, the moment that we feel that God isn't doing our bidding, the moment that we have these great doubts as to whether God exists or not, and suddenly all this stuff gets washed away. And yet it's not God who has changed. It's just that we move to and fro and our attitudes can change on a moment's notice. We can go from happy to sad in a matter of seconds or the other way around. But Jesus offers us a constant, steady source of power, of love that will not disappear, will always be here. And so he invites us into a relationship with his Father. And the amazing thing is that at the conclusion of this gospel reading, he says to his disciples, actually, I have to go because you're going to do greater things than me. I can just imagine the disciples all sitting around saying, well, wait a minute, Jesus. You know, we've seen you heal the deaf. We've seen you be able to heal those who are mute, those who are blind. We have seen you raise people from the dead. We're going to do greater things than these? What in the world are you talking about? And I believe what he is referring to is the fact that the disciples are going to do great things in reaching out to others about the very thing he's speaking to them at the moment, and that is in relationship with God. You too will bring others to God because of what has occurred to you. And even though they fail initially, when Jesus is crucified, they all run away except for John. But ultimately, in the end, each of them take this gift and they take it to the known world. And here we are today because somebody cared enough to tell you that you have a God who is caring and loving and willing to forgive, even though we goof up so many times. And then he offers us an invitation to be able to experience that forgiveness and that love through remembrance of our baptism, even though you and I probably don't remember our baptism because we were too young. But we still have another visible sign, is that is when we come up here and receive that bread and that wine that we understand becomes Jesus. We take Jesus and we have him within us. We have the forbearance and the strength to meet what's out there. And believe me, and as you already know, there are many challenges that are out in the world. But that's what's up for you and I. I believe the reason why we have this reading today is because it's preparing us for the fact that as we come closer to the Ascension, which is 40 days from Easter, a week from Thursday, the disciples had the same thing. You know, here they were, they saw Jesus, they're reunited, they're all happy again, and then all of a sudden, you know, Jesus is leaving them one more time. And we are being prepared also. Not that Jesus has left us, Jesus is still very much present in our life. But that we too know that when we leave this place, he goes with us. And that when we leave this place, our mission doesn't stop just by being here. It continues. Actually, the reason why you're here today, whether you know it or not, is to be fed and nourished so that you're able to meet what's out there for the next week until we come back again. It's a cyclical journey that we take. And know that you too can do great things. For the Father, through the Holy Spirit, will speak through you and will put words in your mouth that you will not know where they come from. But you should, because it's God who speaks through you, just as he speaks through everyone. So God bless you in this Easter season. May we continue to celebrate with joy. Let not our hearts be troubled. But as we believe in God, we understand that God goes with us, and we are not abandoned or alone, but that we are a family. Amen.